You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Good evening, and welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Halloween Special 2016. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We bring you the very best in sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like. Isn't that right, Rich?
Yes, it is! Time for Halloween!
We're quite spooky here.
Yes, I like the Halloween.
You like the Halloween?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yep. Throwing it a little differently because it is Halloween weekend. How
That's
you guys
right.
doing?
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Yeah. It's definitely one of our favorite times of the year. And so we do a little, you know, just a little something special. You know,
curveball.
Little curveball.
Little slider.
Yeah,
sinker.
On this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on this episode this week. We do have news topics in sports, entertainment, and on news to get to, which, you know, we will cover. But, you know, it's just nice, you know, a little change of pace to use a little creepier music.
And we like to get in the mood, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I like a different intro. And I like your
Yeah, I like the flair of
I like your impersonation.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very good.
I give it my best shot.
Yeah. And, well, you're doing double duty on that because for fans that have been following the show, last week you had this really bad cough, and now it's carried over into this week. You're barely speaking right now.
I don't know if people can tell, but my voice is, like, not 100% there. Last week I was coughing the entire time, and I might cough the entire time this week as well, but it is, like, an ongoing saga now. It's a trilogy.
Yeah, we want to know what the hell's going on.
I wish I knew. I honestly wish I knew, because if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I had a little bit of a cough in my voice, like a little tickle.
Uh-huh.
And then last week it was, like, full-blown,
yeah,
like, Apocalypse Now. Coughing, but now it's just the voice and a little bit of coughing. So next week, hopefully, I'll be back 100%.
Okay, we'll know by then if it gets worse again or if Mike is healed.
God, I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm tired of this cough. I feel like I'm going crazy though, honestly, because like I've been coughing for, by the time you listen to this, 3 weeks just about. So I'm thinking to myself like, Is this real? Like, have I really been coughing for 3 weeks? Because I've been to the doctor like a handful of times now. And every time they're like, are you congested? Or, you know, do you have any chest pain? Any this, any fever? I'm like, no. I feel fine. I just can't stop coughing.
Yeah.
I cannot stop coughing. And now it's affecting my voice.
A little bit.
I'm actually on the mend. This past weekend, I was much worse. I was like, hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, the way we time our schedule to record the podcast seems to work out that we're able to get your voice in somewhat of a decent condition to record the podcast. So it's good to have you. Good to have you on. I thought we might have to do like a best of episode or something this week.
No, not for Halloween.
No, of course, Halloween.
Well, we love to go all out for Halloween.
Yep. Which also reminds me on another note. Make sure that you're following the Crispy Noodle on Facebook and Twitter because there will be a special Halloween treat in store.
I don't want to spoil anything, but it was fun.
There you go. That's all you have to know. Make sure you're
that
following.
That was such a horrible tease, wasn't it?
No, it's great.
It was fun. Trust
it was
me.
Fun.
It was good.
It was fun. But yeah, make sure you've liked us on Facebook and you're following us on Twitter. Both the handles are the Crispy Noodle. So yeah, it's Halloween. Just real quick, what are you going to do for Halloween weekend?
Nothing.
We love Halloween so much. We're going to do nothing.
No, I mean, honestly, I'm still not there 100%. So I don't know if I'm really going to be up for doing anything. I know one of my cousins is having a little get together, so I'll probably be doing that. I usually like, this is going to sound really nerdy, but I like to bust out the old Edgar Allan Poe and read some spooky. I know. It sounds super nerdy.
No, it's
like
great.
I did an MFA in creative writing. Okay, people.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my thing. That's my thing. All right.
Yeah.
So I bust out some Edgar Allan Poe, read The Raven, The Telltale Heart. You know, the classics. But you know, just watching a bunch of scary movies and eating candy and trying to get this cough and this voice back in order, man. That's the main goal for me this Halloween. I'm sure you have much more exciting plans than reading Edgar Allan Poe and trying to mend your vocal cords. So what are you doing? Do you have any fun plans? What do you normally do?
I got a couple of Halloween parties to go to this weekend.
Do you go
out
trick-or-treating?
So. No, I don't really.
If I could pull it off, I would. Believe me, I would. I when I was a kid, I loved Halloween.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Oh, it was so much fun. Did you ever do like the homemade costumes or did you do the store-bought costumes?
I've done both.
I don't think I ever did a store-bought. I'm trying to remember. Usually, and my mom would go like all out. She would help me make like, I did a three-headed monster 1 year. I did a hobo 1 year.
I got to ask you this.
What?
How about a Power Ranger?
Yes, I was way back in the day.
Which one?
The red one.
You're red?
Red, yeah. What were
you?
Wow.
What
were you?
Blue.
You always the Blue Ranger?
Every time I tell that fact about me, that, you know, I dressed up as a Power Ranger for Halloween, everybody else was, anybody else that did the same thing, it's always blue.
Really?
Yeah. I can't believe you actually was red. Is red one of your favorite colors?
Not really.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, why well, red? I mean, I guess back in the day I liked red. Well, because he was the leader and he had the T-Rex.
Oh, of course. Dinosaurs. You and the dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Come on.
You and the dinosaurs.
No, wait. The blue one had a dinosaur too, didn't he?
Did he?
He had a Triceratops, I think.
Black, I don't even remember.
Black was a mammoth.
I don't even remember, man.
Yellow was a saber-toothed tiger.
Wasn't the girl one a pink one?
There were two girls. There was the yellow one, and she happened to be Asian. Not racist.
No, not at all.
She had a saber-toothed tiger. The other girl was pink, and she had a pterodactyl.
Okay.
The Black Ranger, who was black, again, not racist. You know, you think about these things as an adult, and you're like,
Yeah.
Okay, the two girls were yellow and pink, and one was Asian. One of the guys was the Black Ranger, and he was black. the macho hot-headed one was red, and the nerdy science guy was blue.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is like stereotyping 101, you know? But anyway.
Yeah.
So I was the Red Ranger. My brother was the Red Ranger as well. Fun fact, he wore the costume for a month and a half straight.
Wow.
We had to pry it off of him in like early December.
He thought he was a Power Ranger.
He wore it like regular clothes.
Sure, why not?
Well, he was like 4 at the time.
Yeah, you get a badass costume like that. Yeah, I'm not taking this off.
The funniest thing is, though, that like maybe 10, 15 years after that, I forget where we were, but my brother saw a little kid dressed in a Power Rangers costume just like as regular clothes. And he was like, see? I told you.
I was on to something.
Yeah, he was on to something.
You bastards making me change myself.
Yeah. Let that be a lesson, you people.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. If you want to be a Power Ranger, be a Power Ranger.
Yes. I think that's appropriate.
They're radical teens with attitude. That's what the theme song says.
Oh, my. Yeah. Wow. You really know more about this than I do.
No, I don't. I only know that because I looked the theme song up. Because did you see the trailers for the new movie?
No, I didn't.
They're coming out with they're redoing the original movie,
which kind of makes me sad.
So I looked up the original theme, and they're like, and the big glowy blue face was like, "We need two teens with attitude." Why do you need teens with attitude? Why they got to have attitude? Do you have to have attitude to save the day?
Yeah. Why?
It was such an awkward '90s thing to say.
Can't we just have honorable teens that will, you know,
honorable
justice?
Upstanding citizens?
No, we want teens with attitude.
Teens with attitude.
It'll increase our market share demographic.
They had such attitude, you'd figure they would be against the blatant racial stereotyping. Guess not.
Yeah, man, come on. Why the black guy have the black Power Ranger outfit on?
That was messed up. You don't think about that as a kid.
No, but now looking back on it, yeah. What the hell were we doing?
Racist Power Rangers.
Damn it. Well, anyway, that's Halloween.
Anyway, this is Halloween.
There you go.
Racism and Power Rangers.
That's it. That's how it works.
Oh, man.
Well, there you go. A little idea of what we're going to be up to this weekend with Mike getting better, healing his voice, and me getting drunk at Halloween parties. I think that sounds splendid.
But neither of us are going to be racist about it.
No. No. Bad.
That's the important thing.
Racism. Bad.
That's right. All isms are bad. as Ferris Bueller said.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going off the beaten path a little bit here.
I like how you're just like, okay.
Yeah, we need to reel it back in here.
Yeah.
Because while Mike's voice is working, I want to cover the news. We have a couple of news topics to get to. And the first batch of news we group by sports. So we call it the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face in this segment here. And, oh, yeah, we got this new segment that we've been doing here where we cram a couple of news topics into a hurry-up offense. Yeah, we call the. You're right over there. You're
yeah,
playing
the sound,
with your wire.
The sound's only coming out of one ear for me. I fixed it though.
Okay, there you go. Good. Yeah. Well, make sure you're on both channels. You need to have two channels for this segment. The 2 minute drill. Let's launch into it right now, Mike. You got the stories?
I got it.
All right, then go into it.
Let's do it. This week in the 2 minute drill, we have some baseball news. The World Series opened with each team winning lopsided games in Cleveland, tying the series 1-1. Both of these teams, of course, are desperate for a championship as they are in the middle of historic droughts. Chicago Cubs haven't won since 1908, making it a 108-year championship drought. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Indians haven't won since 1948, making it a 68-year drought. These teams, this is a historic World Series.
Oh, yeah. One of the curses are going to be broken here.
And one will go on.
Yes, exactly. Despite the other curse, yeah.
It will be so hilarious.
Right, for the team that loses. The big thing to note here is that Chicago took a game away from Cleveland at home.
That's a
big
one.
So now it's a best of five series, and Chicago has three games coming up at Wrigley Field.
Oh, boy.
So right now, Chicago has the advantage. We'll see if they can take advantage and finally end this long World Series drought.
Well, you know who doesn't know how to take advantage of good opportunities?
Who?
The Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. We witnessed a rare tie in the NFL when both teams missed field goals shorter than 30 yards in overtime.
Yep.
The game ended 6-6, and in my opinion...
6-6.
In my opinion, both teams should be disbanded.
It sounds like a baseball game, 6-6.
That's terrible. If I were a fan of one of those teams, I would have been so pissed. Because not only is it a bad game, but you end up tying. That's the worst.
Yeah. It's like kissing your sister. What the hell do you do?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you kissed a girl, but...
Doesn't count.
It's your sister. It doesn't count. just pretend it never happened.
There you go.
Yeah. That's what you got to do with a tie.
All right.
Oh, and finally, the Dallas Cowboys named rookie quarterback Dak Prescott as the starter for the first Eagles-Cowboys game.
Yep.
I was just like, screw it. I was like, screw it. I'll just end it.
But it is it appropriate? Because it is something we're going to get to. But, Dak Prescott is going to be starting the game next week.
This is going to kick off a decade-long rivalry, I think. Dak Prescott versus Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Both rookies, both starting this year.
This is going to be the storyline for the next decade. ESPN, NFL Network, this is all they're going to talk about. Prescott versus Wentz. Who's better in the NFC East? You watch. This is the start of something special, I think.
I would not disagree with that. But this does bring up the Eagles, and since we are a Philadelphia-based podcast, let's go over what they did recently. They beat the Vikings 21-10 in a big upset win.
Yeah.
Just this one seemed like it came out of left field.
Literally.
I did not think the Eagles were going to take this one away from the Vikings. Give them, and it's their first loss, too. The Vikings, their first loss.
Yeah, you know, when everybody was looking at the schedule early on, we had them winning at Detroit and at Washington and then losing at Minnesota.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So this was a shocker to everyone, especially since the Eagles commanded the game for a good while. It was 18-3 at the end of the third quarter, with the Vikings scoring their last touchdown in garbage time. But was this game really a complete win? I hate to split hairs like this.
No, it wasn't.
But this is what you have to do when you look at teams and you have to judge how good are they. I'm going to use a college football term here, quality of the win, right?
Yep.
Isn't that a college football thing?
Yeah.
So let's go over the good, bad, the ugly. What type of quality was this win? Let's start with the good. It was a must-win game, and they won it. They had to win this game.
They had to stop the free fall.
They had to stop the losing streak, but also they had to win one of these because we have a tough stretch coming up. So this was a definite must-win for the Eagles, and they were able to win. The defense held strong against the Vikings, but here's the caveat. The Vikings are not a real good offensive powerhouse.
No, especially not passing-wise, although they'd like to believe so with Sam
Bradford. They're not.
I mean, you have a phenom like Stephon Diggs, and he's not getting any attention. I mean, he was hot like two out of the first three games of the season. I know from a fantasy perspective, a lot of people were adding him as like a possible waiver wire add that they thought was going to benefit later in the season. He's gone silent since those early games. So, I mean, that's just one sign. They lost Adrian Peterson. That hurts.
I was just going to say, without Adrian Peterson, they're 31st in the league in rush yards.
Yeah. I mean, that it's amazing. You want to hear about how an MVP affects a team. There you go.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson leads one of the most dominant rushing attacks, but then he gets hurt, and now the Vikings are 31st. In rushing offense.
They're usually like top five. Now they're 31st. That is a huge, that is just like, that's, I don't know if there was something stronger than a plummet, you know, because they literally fell off, forget falling off the deep end. They like sailed over the edge of the earth, you know? And they're 31st in total yards per game. So they're not a real, they're not an offensive powerhouse. So to say that our defense stood up against that, I don't know. You can make that claim. Sure. But don't hang your hat on that.
Right.
Because we saw what the Redskins and the Lions did with mediocre offenses, or the Redskins at least. The Lions are decent on offense. But I don't know. There's still questions there with the defense for me.
I would agree.
But you know what? There's also a lot of big questions with the offense, too.
Yeah, the offense is stalling.
Struggled big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Carson Wentz, this was really another bad game. That he had in the books.
This was a terrible game. This was by far his worst. Two interceptions, a couple of sacks, I think he had a couple of fumbles. But it wasn't just Carson Wentz. It was the running game too. Ryan Matthews was non-existent again. Did he fumble as well?
He probably did.
I don't know. The list of fumbles is ridiculous. Yeah, he lost a fumble. Carson Wentz had three fumbles and lost one. I mean, it's just shocking.
Yeah.
But
offense is stalling.
But it goes all the way down the board. The leading receiver. Are you ready for this? Sit down, because you might faint. Josh Huff, 4 yards, four receptions, 39 yards. He was the team's leading receiver.
The only one that scored, too, because he had the kickoff return, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, if we didn't have Josh Huff, that we would have lost this game.
Oh, my God. You know, when I don't
Josh
think,
Huff is the star of the show.
That right there, that is super troubling.
Yeah.
Because I think what you just said perfectly sums up this game. Josh Huff was the star of the show. Josh Huff has done nothing.
Yeah. Who is he?
He drops balls. He's a terrible route runner. They say that he can burn people deep. I haven't seen him burn anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So for him to be the star of the game, and also he was named Special Teams Player of the Week.
Woo!
So yeah, woohoo! Zippity doo dah. No, because I'm looking at the stat sheet. We have Nelson Aguilar here, two receptions for 10 yards. He was a first round draft pick. Zach Ertz was supposed to have a career year, one catch, 14 yards. Darren Sproles supposed to be a receiving threat out of the backfield, two catches, 23 yards. None of these people are living up to what they were pitched to us as.
Yeah.
You know? What do they do? How do they correct this?
Well, the entire offense is just stalling. And to be honest with you, I'm not really surprised at it. I mean, the offensive line was kind of mediocre to begin with. Then they lost...
I don't know. Who did they lose?
The suspension guy.
Oh, Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson, yeah. Thank you. Yes,
I was like, did they lose somebody else that I wasn't aware of?
Then they lost Lane Johnson. The
Vitae's been okay, but you know he's not Lane Johnson.
No, the receiving core has been weak. They can't separate they can't separate opposing defenses because they know Carson Wentz isn't going to be able to throw a bomb downfield when you have Jordan Matthews dropping balls and Nelson Agholor not catching them either.
Jordan Matthews doesn't have the breakout speed or the hands. Dorial Green-Beckham, there's a lack of effort. Josh Huff and Nelson Agholor look lost on deep routes. They look like they don't know what they're doing. They can't get separation. It's a mess.
When that happens, the safeties aren't going to play honest. They're going to cheat up further up. They're going to stop you on the run.
This is early 2000s Eagles.
It's just a breakdown of one system on another, and it's not really a surprise to me.
Yeah. You know, when I said that I wanted the Eagles to repeat what they had in the early 2000s, I was hoping they wouldn't take it so literally. Because if you remember, in the early 2000s, we had a strong defense, absolutely no offensive weapons.
Yep.
And McNabb worked wonders because he was a mobile quarterback. Carson Wentz?
No, he's not a mobile quarterback.
He can shift in the pocket, but he's not going to take off like McNabb and juke linebackers and truck over safeties.
Yeah.
You know, he's not that type of quarterback. He wants to try. I've seen him get a little rough out there, but he's not McNabb in that regard. So you're missing that X factor, so you need to give him a weapon. Give him McNabb had Staley at least. You know, Deuce Staley and Brian Westbrook. Wentz doesn't have anybody. You can say, oh, he's got Matthews. He doesn't have Matthews.
No.
The guy's fumbled three times in two games. It's time for him to get benched.
Yeah.
It's time to bring in Smallwood and Barner and let them do what they do. They're small, short, shifty backs. I like that. A little bit of Brian Westbrook. Darren Sproles, I like him, but he's old. Get rid of that excess cap money. No, I'm serious. These are the moves that you have to look at that the Eagles can do because they're going to want to re-sign Benny Logan. They got to get rid of some of that dead weight. I think the running back is one of the positions where you can cut back, and we're carrying like, what, four or five?
Four.
You don't need that many.
No.
We don't run.
No, you shouldn't.
We're not a running team. This is Doug Peterson. This is an Andy Reid protege. He's going to throw 60 times a game.
Yeah, you should not have four running backs.
No.
It's just, that's too much. And also from a fantasy perspective, that hurts if you have Ryan Matthews on your team, which I did for a little bit.
So these losses are personal for you.
Yes. All right.
These offensive struggles are personal.
Yes. All right. You're not helping me.
You weren't saying that when Sproles was killing it special teams a few years ago.
Yeah. All right.
then it was all smiles. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, unfortunately, even though the Eagles pulled out the win here, it was kind of ugly.
Carson Wentz has got to get his head back in the game.
Yeah. This is now two bad games in a row.
Two bad games in a row. And I chalked this one up to a really tough defensive opponent. But at some point, you're going to have to play games like that, and you cannot collapse.
Right.
You cannot throw two picks a game and fumble three times a game.
Yeah. I mean, that could be five turnovers right there. Yeah, that kills you.
But we all knew, you know, he's a rookie. He's going to have bad games. The key is, how does he bounce back?
Yeah, that's what we want to see. And especially against a division opponent this upcoming week.
That's right.
That's going to be huge.
Talk about Halloween weekend. That's scary right there.
Yep. And with that in mind, I think we should go into our predictions in our next segment. It's time for the Fantastic Four Peaks. Yes,
Four Peaks. Is that like Twin Peaks?
Yes. The Fantastic Four Picks for week number, what is it, eight?
Eight.
Eight, I oh my think. Gosh.
Yeah, eight.
Moving on.
We're on up.
Almost halfway there. Let's move it in. Fantastic Four Picks. Eagles, Dallas. This one's in Dallas, right?
Yeah, so first up in the Fantastic Four, we have a primetime game. It is a rivalry of the decade. Wentz versus Dak Prescott. Philadelphia Eagles are traveling to Dallas to face off against the dreaded Cowboys Sunday, October 30th at 8:30. Rich, how do you feel about this one? This is a scary one.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I don't feel good. I don't feel good about this one for the Eagles. Dallas has Ezekiel Elliott, who's been having just a stellar rookie year.
They're the first, they're ranked first in rushing.
Yeah.
So that's how stellar.
Yeah. I mean,
third overall in offense.
He gets 100 yards in this game. That's going to be enough to cause the Eagles defense to go into panic mode and lose their ability to play honestly.
Yeah.
Then on the flip side, can Carson Wentz handle the Cowboys defense? I don't know, man. Especially coming off of two bad games. And then on top of that, this game's in Dallas too. It just seems like there's so many factors. I hate to say it. I think Dallas is going to win this one.
You know what? I hate to agree, but this is looking like a really tough game for the Eagles.
Right.
And I think they got away with one against the Vikings, but all I know is that I look at the game against Detroit and against Washington, and I see what those running attacks did to the Eagles. Washington gutted us for 230 yards.
Right. What is Ezekiel Elliott going to do?
Yeah. So unless they really dramatically change things on defense, I think this one's looking to be a win for the Cowboys. But that's okay, because I've noticed a trend. Every time we pick an Eagles game for the past four games, they've done the exact opposite.
Really?
Yes. So the Eagles are going to win, but I'm still picking Dallas.
So, yeah, we officially picked Dallas.
Yes.
And hopefully the Eagles will win.
Yes.
Yay!
That's football logic, folks. It never fails. Okay. Not once.
All right, what other games do we have?
All right, next up, we have a good old-fashioned pirate battle, ye mateys. When the Oakland Raiders travel to Tampa Bay to face off against the Buccaneers Sunday, October 30th at 1 o'clock. Rich, how do you feel about this pirate battle? The Raiders are pirates, right?
Yeah.
They look piratey.
Yeah.
They got an eye patch.
What are
we talking about?
Right, they are.
All right, so which pirate team is going to come out on top?
This one should be an offensive powerhouse. Both of these defenses are relatively weak. But the Buccaneers, man, I'm interested in this team. First off, you got Jameis Winston. He's doing pretty decent this year. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're down to their third-string running back, and yet he's producing. Jaquise Rogers had a stellar game last week. He had some like 125 rushing yards. He's the third-string running back. You want to talk about running back depth? How the hell do we not have this? All right, they're on their third-string running back, and he's putting up huge numbers. I'm interested to see how well they do at home, if Jaquise Rogers is still going to be able to put up these numbers. He should be able to against this relatively weak Raiders defense. They're going to be at home. I'm going to go Tampa Bay on this one.
You know what? I really like Derek Carr. I like what he's doing. I think that he's a good young quarterback that the Raiders kind of lucked into there. The Raiders defense does worry me. Dead last in the league.
Yeah.
Dead last in the league. But they're still 5-2. So they're finding a way to get it done. And I don't know if I trust the Buccaneers yet. You know, they're on the cusp of maybe breaking out in the next year or two. But I think for now, the Raiders have a little bit of an upper hand with the quarterback play. So I'm going with the Raiders on this one.
Okay. What else do we have next?
Next up, we have an AFC East division rivalry as the New England Patriots travel to Buffalo to face off against the Bills. How do you feel about this one?
Well,
this is a good matchup. They only played, what is it, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah,
early October.
And the Bills shut them out.
Yes, they did.
But guess what? They didn't have Tom Brady back then.
Yeah, there's one big difference.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to be back in this one, and he's going to light it up. Rex Ryan is going to cry.
I can't remember a time where the Patriots dropped two games to a division rival.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
No.
It doesn't happen. Not Bill Belichick, not Tom Brady. They do not let that sort of thing happen. It's the Patriots.
Yep.
110% of the way. Yep. Easy pick.
They're going to find a way.
And finally, this one's a tough one. This is going to be a close matchup, I think. The Green Bay Packers are traveling to Atlanta to face off against the current league leader in offensive production, the Atlanta Falcons. Rich, how do you feel about this one? Packers have been slipping on offense.
They have been.
Falcons are flying high, but the Packers have, according to my statistics, the 7th-ranked defense.
Green Bay's offense is actually the thing that's been killing them lately. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what's wrong, if it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordy Nelson or the loss of Eddie Lacy, but that offense is not clicking as well as we've expected to in past seasons. Meanwhile, on the flip side, the Falcons are producing. I think they're the number one offense.
They are
ridiculous with Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman.
Over 430 yards per game.
I mean, that's ridiculous. This one is another game that should be another offensive powerhouse. So I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Atlanta. Until I see different that Green Bay is fixing their offensive woes, I think it's a safe bet to go with Atlanta in this one.
Yeah, here's the deal with offensive matchups, right? When you're at home, that home crowd is roaring so much that the opposing offense has a hard time communicating. So if the Green Bay Packers are already having a tough time getting their ducks in a row on offense, then you have that legendary Atlanta Falcons stadium with the sound pumped in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's going to make it even harder for them to communicate. I think the Falcons are going to have a field day with the Packers there at home. I'm feeling the Falcons on this one.
I think we're in agreement on that one. And, folks, there you go. Those are our fantastic four picks for week number 8 of the NFL season. Yeah, there you go. I can't believe it's week 8 already.
I know. Where's the season gone?
That means we're halfway through, right? We got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halfway point.
Yeah, halfway point.
Wow.
I know. It comes and goes so fast.
Yeah. But there you go, folks. That is the sports sampler for this week on our Halloween episode. We still got 2 segments coming up, the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. So still plenty more shows still to come. Don't even think about going anywhere. Stay tuned. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a 3-day ordeal, saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire, is doing okay.
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here.
NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor. So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest. Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter. After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization. Why did she walk backwards? it doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car.
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter and started a brush fire.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Pangborn said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
You know, like, this is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy said. Just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby just staring out at this flaming mountain.
Yep.
It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well, yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Rosamund Pike, man. You can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know. It's wild.
They're going to have like, the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. changing up the music in our...
I like it. I like the spooky music.
Yeah. We're going back and forth. Why not?
Is this Night on Bald Mountain?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Of course it is, because I picked it.
Yeah. Special request from Mike. I know you wanted this.
It's from Fantasia. Well, yeah? It's not from Fantasia.
Well, it's in the movie.
Yeah.
Is it one of your favorite movies?
As a kid, it was one of my favorites, yeah. I haven't watched it in a long time. I bored you before the podcast talking about it, so I won't bore everyone else. It's a great, I don't know what it is. It's like an art project. Disney takes classical music and they do little short films that sort of interpret it.
Yeah, that's well, the there you go. If you like animation and Disney movies.
Or drugs.
Or drugs. Sure, why not?
It's very trippy. Now, 8-year-old me didn't understand anything about that. Now, to be fair, 27-year-old me doesn't understand anything about that either. But I'm just saying, if you do partake, it would probably be a very magical journey.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. There you go. Have some drugs.
I wasn't thinking meth, but yeah. I mean,
it could be any drugs.
Whatever floats your boat.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's time, speaking of whatever floats your boat, I think it's time to get to our next segment of the show, where we have a couple of news headlines in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for the Entertainment Entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm gonna scare the hell out of you. Any questions?
Scared to speechless?
Oh, no, I'm just trying to wrap my head around David Pumpkins? I mean, are we supposed to know who that is?
Yeah, it was just a guy in a pumpkin suit with two B-boy skeletons. I don't get how that's scary.
Well, you don't get frights. You fear them.
All right, so there you go.
What was that?
Saturday Night Live introduced a new Halloween character for everyone to enjoy this weekend, David Pumpkins.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
So all there right. you go. He's gonna...
David Pumpkins?
Yes.
I love the fact that it's like a very like generic name,
yeah.
And then Pumpkins.
David Pumpkins.
David Pumpkins.
Well, it's played by Tom Hanks. It's supposed to be like this guy who's supposed to scare you at like a haunted house,
right?
And like, it's funny because they played it like in the middle of like things you would see in like a haunted house, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm David Pumpkins. I'm going to scare. Like, what the
oh
hell?
Oh my gosh!
And then I just love the reaction afterwards. Like, who is he? I'm trying to wrap my mind around. Am I supposed to know him from somewhere? Like
David Pumpkins.
Yeah.
So look for that at your local haunted houses.
Yeah, maybe
David Pumpkins.
Maybe there'll be a David Pumpkins coming around your way. He also has.
I want that to be an actual thing now.
He also has a follow up too.
I'm David Pumpkins!
I know, but like, who are you?
I'm David Pumpkins, man!
Okay, yeah, and David Pumpkins is...
his own thing!
And the skeletons are...
part of it!
It's the legend of David Pumpkins.
The legend lives on.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
But who are you?
Yeah, who are you? Am I supposed to know you from somewhere?
I'm David Pumpkins, that's great. I miss that because I watched the SNL opening.
Oh yeah, but, well you have to
you
with
gotta
all
watch
the debate mockeries and stuff.
But yeah, no, I missed that segment. That was a good one.
So there you go. Check it out, David Pumpkins, the new the new craze sweeping this
It's
Halloween.
Just sweeping. Look for, yeah, David Pumpkins at your local haunted houses. Kids are going to be dressing up as David Pumpkins. I don't know what he looks like. So
it's just him in a pumpkin suit.
That's it?
Like, there's pumpkins all over the suit.
Oh, like
jack-o'-lanterns.
Like, all over him.
Yeah.
So he's not a jack-o'-lantern, but he's covered in jack-o'-lanterns.
Suit. The okay. suit is made is like jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. The classic.
Classic.
David Pumpkins.
Classic. So. He's in all the Halloween specials.
Yeah. Coming soon.
The kids love him.
Coming soon.
Make it sound like an attraction. Coming soon. Yeah. Haunted house near you.
All right. With that out of the way, let's get into Mike's weekly segment where he lets you know what's coming up in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I know, but like, who are you?
I'm David Pumpkins, man!
Okay, yeah, and David Pumpkins is...
his own thing!
And the skeletons are...
part of it!
He's his own thing!
He is his own thing. That's played by Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah.
That's appropriate because this week in entertainment, if you're going to the movies, keep an eye out for this one, Inferno. Of course, starring Tom Hanks. It's the latest Dan Brown novel movie. In which the heroes must stop a deadly global virus from being unleashed. Right now it's suffering from bad Metacritic scores, but if you're into thrillers and mysteries and, you know, Indiana Jones type one clue to the next adventures, this should be right up your alley.
Yeah, I love these kind of movies.
Yeah, you're actually a pretty big fan. You were telling me how you were excited to see this one.
Yeah, The Da Vinci Code, when that first came out, it was all right. Tom Hanks' hair in that was weird.
And that was the first in the Dan Brown sort of trilogy.
That was the first one they made into a movie.
Yeah.
Then they made Angels and Demons into a movie, which is really good. I really liked Angels and Demons.
Okay, that one doesn't get nearly as much press as the other one.
Yeah. I recommend that one. And I'm hoping that Inferno is going to be just as good. So
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. I love the Robert Langdon series.
All right, well, there you go. High endorsements from Rich. So if you're in the mood for a movie this Halloween weekend, check out Inferno. This week in TV, People of Earth is a comedy coming to TBS. Premieres Halloween Monday, actually. And it's perfect for Halloween because it deals with some spooky stuff. This comedy from executive producer Conan O'Brien and Greg Daniels, who did The Office, Parks and Rec, and The Simpsons, is about a support group for alien abductees. That sounds kind of interesting, something that hasn't really been done before.
Yeah, this seems like kind of out of left field.
Yeah, I guess it's like AA for, AA, Alien Abductees.
There you
Anonymous.
Go.
Anonymous.
AAA. AAA.
There you go. Yeah, so if you're in the mood for a kind of Halloween-themed comedy, check out People of Earth on TBS Halloween Monday. And finally, in video games, this is a big one. Titanfall 2 is releasing this week on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. This first-person shooter features fast-paced acrobatic gunplay interspersed with giant mech battles. The first game was an Xbox One exclusive, but this one is finally coming to PlayStation 4. And it now features a single-player campaign that reflects on the bond between a mech and its pilot. It's kind of odd, but people are saying it's very good so far. Has high 80s Metacritic scores, so if you're into first-person shooters and mech combat games, this one is right up your alley. Titanfall 2. Check it out on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike. Thank you for this week in entertainment. We only have one topic to get to in the entertainment entree.
But it's a biggie.
And it's a big one. That's why. That's why it's only one topic. It's a big one. It revolves one of our favorite shows that's on the air. We got to talk about The Walking Dead premiere. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
We have to talk about this. This
yes,
is,
we do.
This was huge on Sunday.
This was a premiere to end all premieres. It was what everybody was waiting for the past 6 months. I do think, though, that if you haven't seen it yet, you do not want to listen to this segment because it's going to spoil some pretty big things for you.
Hold on. Let's step back a minute. All right, like, Everybody knows at this point who got killed.
Probably.
I don't know
how you would avoid it.
Right. It was everywhere online. There was right,
well,
no
I,
way.
I just want to say, fair warning, if you somehow haven't watched or heard of it yet, well, one, you're not a fan, so it doesn't matter. But in the off chance that you're like completely like caught off guard by the fact that it started last week, you might want to skip the segment.
Okay.
But warning aside, oh my God, that premiere was amazing.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Negan.
Yes.
Negan. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Negan is.
I mean, it was.
Negan is my new favorite character. Oh my God!
I think we were texting during the show, and I think we both agreed he is the best villain this show has seen yet.
Yeah,
I mean, hands. The Governor was amazing at the time. The Governor was one of my favorite TV villains. It's Negan now.
Yeah,
hands down.
I love the way Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays him. He's like a combination of being charismatic, but then being violent and brutal.
He is such a compelling villain because he is so charismatic.
Yeah.
He's almost aloof in the way he walks and talks, but it's this aloofness with this very real viciousness and deadly seriousness underneath it. You know what I mean? It's almost like fake aloofness.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, he's very casual about what he does. I guess casual is a better word.
Yeah, not aloof. Yeah.
Aloof, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's not afraid to just start stuff to, I want to say the S word, because it's Negan. But he's not afraid to just, you know, start crap and see where things go.
Yeah, exactly. And he has so much bravado and so much confidence.
He's an instigator. He's one of those guys that just wants to see how people are going to react.
He wants to watch the world burn, is what it is.
I don't know if I would take it that far. I don't think he's a Joker mentality.
You don't think he's a Joker mentality?
No, because in the end, Negan still wants to have a comfortable life for himself.
Right.
See, Joker...
Well...
See, the whole phrase, want to watch the world burn, is really for somebody like the Joker who just doesn't give a crap about anybody and just wants to see how low humanity will go. Negan is still a little bit more selfish. He wants to just have a comfortable life and wants to make sure that people know that he's the number one guy.
Well, in that regard, maybe he's not so much of an instigator then.
Well, he still is though, because I think he likes to test people.
I think he's more of a puppet master.
He's that too.
He knows how to control people.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was necessarily instigating Rick. I think it was the opposite. I think he was trying to break Rick.
Well, yeah, he's trying to break Rick, but he wants to see because
he's not instigating them to come back at him. He wants them to be like a beaten dog.
But at the same time though, he has to see like how far the loyalty is willing to go, which I think is a great case for the part where he pulls Carl,
yeah,
and you know, tells him, "All right, this is it. Either you cut off his hand, or everyone's gonna die."
Yeah,
like that was
totally badass,
right? And that was just something he just wanted to do for fun. He just wanted to see if Rick was gonna do it.
Well, I don't think it was for fun though. I think it was very. I thought it was actually very calculated, because he knew what Rick's breaking point was.
Yeah,
you know, once. I think, now, I don't know, we might be totally overestimating this character, but the way I read it is that he is very good at reading the situation because, you know, he knows exactly what buttons to push. He knows when to push them and how hard to push them. You know, so here's the big reveal. First, attacking Abraham, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else was already sort of beaten and hunched over. Abraham was the only one to stand up tall to him. So, you know, taking him out was going to send a message.
Yeah.
You know, so he's really good at reading the situation and understanding. I think he's very calculated in that sense, which makes him very dangerous because it's violence, but it's also a very methodic and very intentional violence, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a great, gruesome death, the Abraham one. Some people said it was over the top. It's a show about zombies.
Yeah,
they're eating people.
And
what is your definition of over the top?
Yeah, and Negan has a barbed wire bat.
What did you expect was going to happen?
Yeah, this is gonna get bloody.
Like, my dad was getting upset. He's like, I can't believe they're showing this on TV. Like, we regularly watch people's throats get ripped out and have zombified humans eating other humans, and you're going to draw the line at somebody getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. That line's already been crossed.
The biggest crime, in my opinion, was the fact that apparently AMC was allowed to show, you know, all the score with, you know, with Negan bashing everyone's brains in with the bat in graphic detail. But then they did Talking Dead, and Chris Hardwick dropped the F-bomb, and he got in trouble for
it. They bleeped everything.
Like, what?
They
really
bleeped everything.
You're coming from 15 minutes ago. We were just watching two people get their brains batted in, but that's not offensive. But saying the F-word is?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's something that affects us, too, because we have to monitor ourselves. I would say it here to prove a point, but I don't want to give you the extra editing work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But here's the issue. Because these rules are in place for, you know, like, decency, right? And for the kids. One, kids shouldn't be watching a zombie show.
Not really.
It's on at 10 o'clock at night. And two...
Nine.
Whatever. Same difference. 9, 10, you should be in bed. Go to bed, you damn kids. Mom and Dad are watching zombies ripping people's guts out. Two... Right?
Do you want nightmares? This is how you get nightmares.
I have never seen anybody... curse words, I don't think, negatively affect children. You know? I think violence, maybe you can make the case, although I don't believe it. I don't think kids are affected by that type of stuff anyway. Because I was always annoyed at, you know, the media makes them into killers. That's BS.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I watched Scarface when I was 10. I'm fine.
You still haven't killed a single person.
Yeah.
And you don't do cocaine. So,
not that you know of.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Is there something you want to share, Rich?
No. Please, let's move on.
All right. But, I mean, the point is, look, I'm not going to go get a, you're not going to go get a baseball bat covered in barbed wire and try and beat somebody's brains out, are you? You know? That's
maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, you're full of surprises.
I'm kind
of
halfway there.
Oh, okay.
You guys will find out if you follow
us on
Facebook
and Twitter.
Yeah,
tease.
Yeah, make sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter.
Find out what all the hubbub is about. did you like that?
Yeah.
But anyway, enough with the complaints about the FCC. Let's get down to the episode. What did you think of the premiere in general? Good, bad? You know, how does this rank in terms of, you know, quality TV and previous Walking Dead episodes?
I love this episode. I love the violence. I love the shock. I love how Negan
the character, the new characters.
Negan is absolutely fantastic. I think the hidden gem though is Lincoln acting as Rick Grimes in this episode. Because you just see a 180 in him. He got broken. He all of a sudden he goes from leader, from this yes man, he knows how to get out of any situation.
Yep.
In one episode, all of a sudden he's now down to nothing.
Rick-tatorship to beaten dog.
Yeah.
You know, I love that 180. It was, and for me personally, it was just what the character needed because he was bordering on ridiculous in terms of. How unilateral all his decisions were. He's like, if I want to kill somebody, I'm going to kill somebody, and everyone's going to go along with it, with the exception of maybe Daryl or Michonne, who can talk some sense into him. But Rick was becoming, for me, a little too egotistical, bordering a little too close to the governor. And so this 180 is just what the character needed. You need those peaks and those valleys, right? And this is the perfect valley. And the promo for the next episode where Rick talks to Alexandria, and he's like, I'm not in charge anymore. Negan is. That is such a big moment for him because he has been so strong, so headstrong and so leader and so proactive and so preemptive the past two seasons. I think this is going to be a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
How does he claw his way back? How does he, after getting that dose of reality, how does he fight back? I think that's more compelling than always being, you know, one step away from being a madman. Because I think that note got played out a little bit too much. But that's why I'm excited about it. Now, some people said they didn't like the premiere. I read one review. This person said they didn't like it because the hype the past 6 months made it so that it wasn't compelling, shocking, or rewarding. Now, how do you respond to something like that? Because for me personally, I think if you're going out of your way to read the spoilers and to, you know, read all the shooting leaks, of course it's not going to be a surprising or a shock or a good payoff. I thought it was great payoff. I think the wait was worth it, actually.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because I didn't constantly focus on it for 6 months. I put it out of my mind. So I disagree with that assessment of the episode.
I think first off, ending the last season on such a big cliffhanger.
That was annoying.
It was annoying.
But in retrospect.
It seems like it paid off. But here's something that I think would have been better. If they knew at the beginning that they were going to kill off two characters, Abraham and Glenn, what they should have done was they should have killed off Abraham and showed that, and then go to Black, finish season six, and then to kick off season seven, oh my God, he's coming back for another kill, and then he goes for Glenn.
Yeah.
That way you would have the satisfaction of seeing Lucille in action in season six.
Yeah.
And you would get the shock in season seven that you wanted.
Yeah. That's definitely the best case scenario.
That would have been, I think, the equal measure.
Yeah. I think in retrospect, that would have been the best way to do it. The way that they did it, while it was annoying, I don't mind it so much now after having seen the premiere. But given, you know, a perfect world, I would have had it the way that you described it.
Yeah.
Kill Abraham season six, open season seven by killing Glenn.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect. But even still, I thought the season seven premiere was highly effective in demonstrating just how vicious Negan is and in really setting these characters on a completely different narrative arc. I think that this is a situation that they haven't really ever been in.
No.
So I'm really excited to see that. But here's the other thing that I'm really excited to see, because they teased it, is what do they call it? The kingdom with the guy with the tiger, Ezekiel
yeah.
with the tiger. I'm really interested to see what that's all about. Are we going to have two huge factions fighting against each other? Because it's always Rick versus whoever.
Right.
But now, could we see like a large scale conflict? That's something we haven't really seen yet. We saw a little bit when the governor attacked the prison, but again, that was more the governor versus Rick. This could be, you know, Rick caught in between this larger war. I don't know if that's the way it goes. I might be talking out my ass. Who knows?
We'll find out, because, you know, it's funny. Kirkman is his name, right?
The guy? Kirkman, the creator, yeah.
He said something in the follow-up Talking Dead where he said something like, next week's episode is actually kind of like more like a joke. It's more lighthearted. And it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we still have like a full season still to go. Like,
yeah.
Coming off of the deaths of two main characters in the show is like, oh my gosh, like, how do you rebound from that? Oh yeah, there's still a whole season.
Yeah, they still have, what is it, 15 episodes in season 7, I think?
Yeah.
So, now knowing AMC, they're going to break it up in the middle.
Right.
But yeah, there's still so much. People, you have to remember, you have to keep sight of that this is just one moment, right? This is, you know, just one stepping stone on, hopefully, a path to a much larger conflict. I think that's important to keep in mind. But I thought it was a highly effective episode. I loved it. Like you said, I love the violence. I love the new character. I love the 180 for Rick. I love the fact that they captured Daryl. I think that's something that people aren't talking about enough. How is that going to factor into how Rick behaves? How that dictates what the group does?
Are you talking about the fact that right now Negan has Daryl, or
has
the fact
Daryl.
That Daryl caused Glenn's death?
The fact that Negan has Daryl, but also the fact that Daryl caused Glenn's death too. That was really good, because that, you know, gives you a lot of time for, you know, reflecting on these characters' relationships and how that weighs on Daryl's psyche too. But I like the fact that Daryl has been removed from the group, you know, because Negan went on and on about having a right hand man. Daryl was Rick's right-hand man, you know? And so now Rick doesn't have that. How does that change the game plan for him?
Yeah. He really doesn't have any right-hand man now.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of thought, like, Glenn was, like, his original buddy.
Yeah.
And Abraham was kind of his, like, new school buddy. and Daryl was like the tough guy buddy.
You keep leaving out, now I know you don't like her, but you keep leaving out Michonne. Michonne is part of that inner circle, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Michonne is.
She is, especially now since they're a little closer than right hand.
Oh, yeah, they banged. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
When you look at Rick, when you look at Rick's inner circle, it was Glenn, Daryl, and Michonne, I think. Abraham, sort of. But yeah, so one of them has been captured. One of them is dead. And Michonne is, you know, how's Michonne going to deal with this? How is she going to, you know, keep Rick in line or talk some sense into him? I don't know. There's just a lot of interesting storylines that they can develop here. With it opens the door to a lot of interesting storylines. Whether they pursue them, that's another thing. This is all speculation on my part. I haven't read the comics. So...
Yeah, well, and that's not a drawback either.
Because I think that's a benefit, really.
The show is not supposed to follow the direct lineage of the comic books, so
yeah,
it can go any direction.
I prefer it that way, I think.
Yep. But yeah, overall, scale of 1 to 5 stars. How would you rate the
one
premiere?
To five? I'd give it like a solid like 4.25-ish. 4.5.
I do 4.5. I really liked it.
It was really, really good. I don't get the negative press it's been getting.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
Because people are looking at it from the perspective of, oh, we knew who was going to die. Well, why do you read the spoilers? Why do you read the hype?
That's just your fault. Yeah.
Just ignore it. That's not the way you should you shouldn't review something based on that. You know, if I buy a new video game or if I watch a new movie and I read all the leaks beforehand, of course I'm not going to be surprised. Right? I think anybody that looks at it from that angle is not doing what you should do when you review something. That's just my own personal opinion.
Well, there you go. That's the last word on our Walking Dead recap. Definitely looking forward.
Sorry about that.
You're going to make it through this episode?
I'm basically the Walking Dead over
here. Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But there you go. That's our recap of the Walking Dead season premiere. I liked it. I think you did too.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to this season. I love Negan.
I'm excited for The Walking Dead again.
I love Negan and Lucille.
They're amazing.
I can't wait to see
them. They're amazing. I cannot wait to see more of them.
Yep. But that will conclude the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere because coming up next, got the non-fortune cookie odd news. We're going to go over an old topic, if you will. So, yeah, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. The Chris Noodle Podcast, still rolling on. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is gun rack? Roll Tide. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like... what has 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah, right? Need to know more about
he's a hooker farm. It's good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado Esiodo Kamotika Dio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, you're like, mixing
Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hookah farm, come here. Banzai, Daniel-san. Banzai! He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on or wax off?
Up, down. In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel,
out,
sir, remember in, when I out. Told you paint the fence? And then sand the floor.
Yeah, you're the best story.
Nothing I'm gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. One more request for Mike on this Halloween episode.
I'm loving this. This is Zombies by the Cranberries. But it's like slowed down a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. Just so it works out in our instrumental bed.
I love it. It's very good. It's very good. We're going to have to find out more about this rendition afterwards.
There you go. A good way to come back from break and to move on into our final segment here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We've covered sports. We've covered entertainment. But now it is time for the odd news. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Ah! Woo! Time for some odd news.
As I cough right before my spiel.
It's all right.
So, for those of you that might not be familiar in the odd news, actually, this doesn't apply for this week, does it?
Yeah, we're gonna do something a little different here.
I got something a little different planned.
Yeah, Mike is, I want to give Mike a break. His voice. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to that. I have to say this. I was listening to that short intro clip we play for the odd news, and I was listening to my voice. I was going, oh man, I can't wait for my voice to come back so I can really let loose again. Because this is 2 weeks that I've, been like, the range has been shortened, the singing and the screaming that I normally do is not there. I can't laugh, which is really hard.
Yeah. Especially for the odd news.
Yeah, I know. Last week I almost killed myself in the odd news. So I can't wait for my voice to be back to normal so I can like unleash its majesty upon the ears of our listeners.
Yes.
But
in the meantime, that doesn't mean we don't have something planned for you for the odd news.
Right.
Because we figure since Mike is sick.
Cough, cough.
We figured this would be a good time to go over a feature that happens every year. And I'm sure we're going to get to one in 2016. But this is something that we usually do coverage on every year, probably around this time. It might be coming up, probably next week's podcast or the podcast after it. And that is a report that features the wackiest excuses that employees have actually used to try to claim sick days off of work.
These are so good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so bad that they're
so
good.
Bad they're good, yeah.
Let me tell you something. These are great excuses. If you're ever in a pickle and you need to come up with an excuse to get out of work or to skip school or whatever it is you're doing, use one of these.
Yeah.
Because
Surefire.
They never fail. Not once have they failed.
Except for actually being featured on the odd news of the Chris Middle podcast.
Except for literally every one of them has failed. So we have the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? So 2014, 2015, the worst sick excuses for those years. I can't wait to relive how amazing these are.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you actually have a sickness that you can use.
Yes.
But for me, if I want to take a day off, I might use one of these.
There you go. Yeah. Yay! Put it in your back pocket.
So without further ado, let's re-listen to some of these. Let's start off with 2014. This one All was right. 2 years ago. These were, again, the actual worst sick day excuses that were actually used by employees to get a fake sick day off from work. So here we go. 2014. Let's play it. The website Career Builder puts together a study of this year's most unbelievable excuses for calling in sick.
Oh, okay.
And I have in my hand the top 10 weirdest reasons for employees calling in sick.
Okay.
All right. Before we get into it, just some interesting stats that were found out with the study.
Okay.
One in four employers have caught an employee faking sick through social media. So just, you know, rule of thumb, if you're going to play hooky, don't post it on Facebook.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
That's usually a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. LOL, got out of work, hashtag stupid boss.
Yeah.
At boss.
And one in five have fired an employee for calling in sick with a fake excuse.
Wow.
So people are losing their jobs because of this.
Don't get caught calling out sick to play the latest Call of Duty.
Yep. But here it is. I have the top 10 weirdest reasons.
Okay.
For, just not even anything else. Just, hey, meth. boss, I can't come in. Meth.
Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
That's part of my religion.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
Part of my religion, right?
Part of my religion, yep.
All right, well, here we go. Are you ready for our top 10 weirdest reasons for calling in sick?
Yes.
All right, number one, quote, I just put a casserole in the oven.
That's it?
Yep, that's it. I can't leave the house now. I'm stuck here.
Wait, is this like a regular 9-to-5 job? I just stuck my casserole in the oven at like 8:30 in the morning.
Yep, I can't leave now.
Can't leave now. I put my casserole in like 10 hours ahead of time. How long do casseroles take to cook?
I have no idea, but apparently this one's a serious one.
Yeah, apparently. All right.
All right, next one. I need plastic surgery for purposes having to do with... Oh, wait, no, I thought it was twerking.
What?
Late at night. It's late at night. I'm reading this wrong way.
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, but I need the torque. Yeah. It's my true calling. For purposes of twerking. I need the twerk enhancement, doctor, please.
Nope. The number two reason, I have plastic surgery for enhancement purposes that need some tweaking to get it just right.
Okay. The twerking one was better.
All right. Here's our next one.
Okay.
Quote, well, I was sitting in the bathroom and my feet and my legs fell asleep. Then when I stood up, I fell and I broke my ankle.
Really?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, I don't believe that one.
I love how you have to start off with, I was in the bathroom. Yeah. Really?
Taking a crap.
Yeah.
It was a big one. I was reading a book. Got through chapter 5.
I was reading the Bible.
I was reading the Bible. The meth Bible.
Got through all of Walter White's chapters.
Yeah. Just started on the first letters of Jesse to Walter White.
Yeah. All right. You ready for our next one?
Yes.
Quote, I was at the casino all weekend, and I still have money left to play, so I have to keep going.
Really? Wow.
I have to keep going. I'm on a hot streak.
I have a feeling that...
You don't leave a hot table, Mike.
I have a feeling that those people got fired.
Yeah. You don't leave a hot table, Mike.
Right, of course. Even though you could hypothetically earn just as much money going to work and actually working, you know, yeah. And not risk losing the money.
Well, whatever.
Well, whatever. I'm a risk taker, damn it.
All right, here's the next one. I woke up in a good mood and I don't want to ruin it.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That person's just honest.
Yep. Nope. I'm not going to ruin it with work. Sorry.
That's how everybody feels.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm in a good mood.
See ya.
You're on your own. Yep. All right. The next one, number 6 on the list. Quote, I had a lucky night and I don't know where I am.
That's a valid excuse.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Yeah, you know, maybe you don't have a change of clothes, you forgot your briefcase, you know.
And you don't know where you
are. Yeah, I'm in a different state.
I woke up, I'm in Jersey. What? All right, number 7 on the weirdest excuses for a sick day. Quote, I'm stuck in the blood pressure machine at the grocery store, and I can't get out.
I think his blood pressure's a little high.
Yeah. It's eating my arm. What do I do?
You know, those machines have always terrified me because the thing is, if you do get nervous and your blood pressure, you know, rises, you know, won't it, like, get tighter and tighter?
Well, there you go. Somebody actually used it as an excuse to miss a day of work.
Wow. Do they even make those things anymore?
Yeah, they're at grocery stores.
I haven't seen one.
I've seen them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to go check it out then.
Just don't get stuck in one.
Well, why? It's a good excuse. You should try that one, Rich.
Oh, yeah. They'll all really believe me. They'll carry the blood pressure machine to where I work.
They'll hack it out of the wall and drag it over.
Yeah. All right, number 8. I have a gallstone, but I want it to heal holistically.
So that means just sit around and BS and wait for it to go away.
Yeah, right.
All
right,
awesome.
Hey, it's my religion.
This is religion, yeah.
There you go.
That's going to be the new catchphrase. Hey, it's my religion.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? I belong to a religion where I actually don't have to work, so I have to call out sick indefinitely.
Hey, it's my religion.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it. But you still have to pay me. That's part of my religion, too. My religion is that you give me a briefcase filled with money.
Yep. All right, number 9. Quote, my uniform is on fire because I put it in the microwave to dry after the laundry was done.
What? How dumb are you? Put it in the microwave. Don't they have a dryer? I guess not.
I guess the microwave was going to be the express dry.
The express dry. Oh, my God. Some people should not be allowed to own appliances.
Yeah, if you're putting your uniform in the microwave.
Oh, boy.
All right. And number 10, the last one on the list. Are you ready for the last weirdest excuse for calling in sick?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Quote, I accidentally got on a plane this morning.
What? I woke up, got dressed, you know, I got showered, got dressed, I left my apartment, and next thing you know, I'm flying across the ocean.
Yeah, you know, I rolled out of bed right into a plane.
Yeah. Waited in security for 2 hours, waited in the terminal for another hour, boarded my plane last because I bought a really cheap ticket, and now I'm flying, and it just all happened.
Just completely without my control.
Yeah. Took a shuttle to the airport. I mean, come on. How do you accidentally get on a plane?
Yep.
You're just walking down the sidewalk and, you know, up the up on ramp. Airplane's just parked at the end of your street. Whoops.
Whoops. So there you go. That is Career Builder's top 10 weirdest excuses for calling in sick, and they were all used at actual workplaces.
I want to know if that last one actually worked. I accidentally got on a plane.
No, that didn't work.
Are you sure?
That's so dumb. I accidentally got on a plane, yeah.
Do you know how much effort there is involved in getting on a plane?
I was walking down the street and I tripped and I fell right into a taxi cab that was going right to the airport. I tried to get out of the taxi. I tripped out of the taxi cab. I rolled right into one of those moving belts that carried me right to the plane. They thought I was luggage. They threw me right onto the plane and here I am in New Mexico making meth.
It's my religion.
That's my religion. There you go. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. There you go.
That was
2014.
I love that.
The worst excuses for a sick day.
The airplane one always gets me.
Yeah. That one is just too weird.
Because it's impossible.
Yeah.
You cannot accidentally get on an airplane.
Right. There's too much effort that goes
into it. If anybody has ever flown, they know it is impossible. You can't even bring liquids into an airport or onto a plane.
Yeah.
You know? So how you accidentally get on an airplane and fly somewhere? It's crazy.
Yeah.
That was great. I love reliving that.
All right. Well, we got one more from last year.
Okay.
So let's do 2015's version. The worst sick day excuses employees actually told their employees in 2015. Take it away. Time for the yearly review of Career Builder's weirdest job excuses that was actually used to get out of a day of work.
Oh, my God.
Yep, it's time.
Can they ever top the airplane one, though?
I don't know. We're going to have to find out.
Okay.
So for those that aren't familiar, the website Career Builder has this survey of employers where they ask employers various questions in the survey, but also specifically at the end of the survey, what's the weirdest excuse that an employee actually gave you for missing a day of work? Okay.
Okay.
Before we launch into it, just one quick result of the survey that I think is interesting to mention. 38% of workers called in sick during the past year when they actually felt fine, up from 28% in last year's survey. So,
wow.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, take that day off of work.
Yeah, laziness for the win.
Yeah. And besides, the more often you do that, that gives us more opportunities to find out the weirdest excuses to actually be used to take off work.
So this is like a playbook for our listeners, right? Of excuses they can use.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Do these excuses work?
Probably not.
Oh, that's a shame.
I have a top 10 list here for you.
All right.
You ready?
I'm really excited.
Here it is.
Let's start at the bottom. What's number 10?
All right. This is like the Late Show with Letterman. So here you go. The top 10 actual weirdest excuses that were given to employers from employees to miss a day of work. Number 10, an employee actually claimed that, quote, "My cat is stuck inside the dashboard of my car. I can't come into work."
That's awful. Poor cat. How did it get inside your dashboard?
Yeah, that's... That
is... Like, how... I imagine that's what it would sound like.
If you hear that in the background, that might be legit.
I was just trying to figure out how a cat would even get inside there.
Yeah, how would a cat get in?
It must be a tiny
cat.
Because it would have to, like, I don't know.
Is your dashboard broken?
Maybe.
But even then, how does the cat crawl all the way in the dashboard?
Yeah, that's impressive right there with that cat.
So
the cat is stuck in the dashboard.
Yep, that was number 10 on the list of...
That's really, like, strangely specific, too. You know, my cat is stuck in the... Like, nobody would say that.
So you think it actually happened?
I think it may have actually happened.
All right, there
it's
you go.
It's so weird it could be true.
This is the odd news.
That's true.
All right, number 9.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
An employee said that, quote, "My doctor says I need more vitamin D, so I need to go to the beach."
I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, sure. Let's go to the beach.
Let's see. What else has vitamin D? Orange juice, milk, normal sunlight.
Yeah, not the sunlight. I have to go to the sunlight in the beach. I can't go to the sunlight that comes in through the office. No, that's not going to work.
I want
to
know. This person probably like lives in like Kentucky. They're like, "We live in Kentucky. There is no beach." Oops. I'm in Hawaii. Surprise. See, that excuse only really works if you live in a coastal town.
Yeah.
Right? Because the further away from a beach you get, the less probable it is, you know? At least that's what I think.
All right, ready for number 8?
Yeah.
An actual employee said that, quote, "I was going to cook today for the entire department, but my potluck dinner didn't turn out well, so I got to stay home."
Or just come into work and not bring the food.
Yeah. That doesn't embarrass
you. Is it like
you.
A pride thing? Like, oh, I can't show my
I'm
face.
I'm embarrassed? Yeah.
I'm embarrassed, yeah.
Please, if you have a heart, don't make me come in.
Look, just get some takeout. Get that nice Indian takeout.
Yeah, that's 2 hours late and banged your wife.
Yeah. The Taken guy comes in. He's like, all right, who wants a good bang? My bang will go. Nobody will get that reference unless they listen to the previous episode.
It's an actual stripper.
But I've got some delivery for everybody, including the ladies.
Oh.
I'm delivering.
You like your food spicy? I can be that spice.
I'm delivering some beef strugel to somebody.
What? It's supposed to be Indian food.
Whoops. I'm already 2 hours late.
You're 2 hours late. You brought the wrong type of food. I ordered Indian and you brought me a pizza. This is the worst delivery guy ever. 2 hours late, brings you a pizza and screws your wife. And then instead of you paying him, oh no, wait, and then you gotta pay him at the end of it. Oh my god.
Alright, how about number 7 on our list?
Yeah, go ahead.
An actual excuse that was used by an employee to get out of work. Number 7, quote, I can't come into work. My wife put all my underwear in the washer this morning. All of them. All of them. Gone.
All of them.
I can't touch one of them. They're in the washer. It's locked.
It's locked. There's children's locks on it. You don't understand.
I can't get in.
That's a real problem, though. If you run out of underwear, what's he supposed to do?
Free ball it. Be a man.
Free ball it. There you go.
Go commando. Come on.
Put a sock on it or something.
You need a third sock.
Then you're always going to be one sock down. It's just awkward after that.
All right, man. Number 6. An actual employee said that, quote, I can't come into work. I poked myself in the eye while I was combing my hair.
How do you comb your hair?
Yeah, are you combing it like Donald Trump, like all forward, and then like you slipped and it hit you in the eye?
Either that or just really violently trying to comb it like the Fonz. Just attacking your hair left and right. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious though. Poked myself in the eye.
Yeah. Number 5. An employee said that, quote, I can't come into work. My wife found out I was cheating and I now have to spend the day retrieving my belongings from the dumpster.
Serves him right.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to find any sympathy with that one.
Yeah, I mean, he brought it on himself.
Yeah. You lose a day.
It would be really interesting if he was cheating on his wife with somebody at the office.
Or maybe cheating on his wife because he became a delivery man.
This is the delivery guy. We found him. We found him.
Yep. He's actually from India.
Office worker. Office worker by day.
Or no, it was Sydney. Sydney, Australia. He was delivering Indian food.
There you go.
Yeah, that guy's the Indian food driver. Food delivery man driver.
Food, what'd you call him? Food delivery man driver?
Yeah, that's this guy.
All right, then. Food delivery man driver.
It's a very prestigious title.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Okay.
I want to see the name tag, food delivery man driver. His name is Bob. A really long title, really short name.
Joe. J-O.
Joe. There you go. J-O. Oh, man. Fantastic.
All right. Number 4 on the list. An employee actually called and said that, quote, I know this is going to sound weird, but the universe is right now telling me to take a day off.
So... The whole universe.
The whole universe.
It spoke to him.
Spoke to him.
Wow.
Yes.
He got a message from beyond.
Yeah. That told him.
It said skip work.
Specifically today. He needed to take today. He was talking with the fish. And
the fish, yeah. This is the guy with the fish, yeah.
Yeah.
That was his message from the universe. He was looking at it. He goes, and he asked himself, what is fish? Like we tried to do. And he realizes that fish is taking a day off.
I think I need to take a day off.
Yeah.
After reading some of these excuses.
Yeah, right?
Jeez.
Look, I got to take a day off. I read some crazy-ass excuses, and I just can't deal with this anymore.
If the universe can tell a guy to take a day off, I think I need a day off.
Yeah. Career builder told me to take a day off.
Yeah. All right. How about number 3? Number three on the list of actual excuses that were used by employees that take a day off according to their employers. Number three, quote, I was reaching to grab a sandwich that I was making for work that fell off of the counter. I slipped and broke my arm.
Oh, my God. Wait, reaching to grab a sandwich
that was falling off the counter.
And he slipped.
And broke his arm.
And broke his arm.
But he only needs one day off.
If he doesn't show up with a cast, like, he's going to be fired.
Yeah. I just need this one day off because I broke my arm and it'll recover in one day.
Recover. Don't worry, I've done this before.
Yeah.
Speedy,
I'm a speedy recoverer.
Yeah, I just shake it off. I need a whole day to shake it off, though.
Yeah.
But, like,
this... I'm like, that's Brian. I'm going to come back next week. It'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I broke some bones. It's all right. I'll be good. But, like, this is one of those lies where you have to back it up. So does he go out and get a cast then and pretend that his arm is broken?
He has to.
For, like, weeks, though.
Because
he's got to do this for, like, 6-7 weeks.
Because this is specifically one day off.
Yeah. Man, I mean, he must have been really desperate to take a day off.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Like, why don't you use a normal excuse like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment, or, oh, somebody's sick and I got to take care of them, you know?
Yeah, something.
I broke my arm. And then tomorrow he just shows...
my arm. Oh, my arm's fixed!
The next day he just shows up, like, juggling. And you're like, really?
He's juggling.
I'm a fast healer. Took some Advil.
I took Advil. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Now I can juggle. I'm actually performing tonight.
Yeah.
You want to come out and see my show?
I broke my arm. I took Advil. Now I can juggle, but I couldn't juggle before. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we're getting
to... See, what they don't tell you is that his job was at the circus.
We're getting to the last two. Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right.
This is the runner-up for best excuse, right?
Yeah, number two.
Oh, fancy...
Sure, why not?
Dramatic music.
Number two, quote, I can't come into work. I'm stuck under the bed. How did you get under the bed?
Why? Yeah, really.
And why is the bed so low or you're so big that you're stuck?
Like, you can tell before you go under the bed whether you're going to be able to fit or not.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody lay down next to your bed and just look and be like, I'm not going to be able to fit in there. So why would you go in there?
And then get stuck. Also, do you need me to call the police or the fire department? If you're stuck, it sounds like you're going to need help.
This is another one of those lies where it causes problems. Because I feel like after he calls work and says, I'm stuck under the bed, he's like, ha, fools. Sits down, pops in a movie, you know, or a video game or whatever he's planning to do. 15 minutes later, fireman kicks down the door and storms upstairs to look for him stuck under his bed, right?
We're here to help you.
I'm fine.
Luckily, I wiggled myself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just lie after lie. It just compounds to the point where you're nothing but a lie.
Were you quoting a song?
No, I don't know what that was.
Like, dude, it sounded like a song.
It sounds like it was a song or book or something.
Officer, I was stuck under the bed, but luckily I had a huge jar of...
Mayo.
KY jelly.
KY jelly.
And I smothered it all over myself. Squeezed myself out.
I don't know why I said mayo. I was trying to think of...
Out of all the things to be next to the bed, why mayo?
I was trying to think of something that
would... What freaky stuff are you doing? Mayo?
I don't even like mayo.
Baby.
Ooh, baby.
Sprinkle that mayo. Ooh, yeah.
Sprinkle mayo. You spread mayo.
Spread it, sprinkle it.
Secondly...
I
don't even like mayo.
When you're in bed, you sprinkle it, if you know what I mean. Ooh, yeah.
Oh my god. I was trying to think of something that could like help you squeeze out of something, and for whatever reason, I don't know why mayo popped into my head. Yeah.
I'm here to deliver some mayo.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna spread some mayo on your buns. That sounded really perverted.
It's good for you too, it's the light mayo.
It's made with olive oil. Well, some mayo is made with olive oil. It's Italian. I can be your Italian mayo.
Oh, yeah, sure. You want to get stuck under the bed tonight?
This tuna salad tastes funny. Oh, my God. All right. So, stuck under the bed, eating mayo, apparently. Oh, boy.
All right.
Fantastic. Yes.
Are you ready for the number one weirdest?
This is the weirdest excuse.
For, yeah, the past year.
All right. What do we got?
All right. Here you go. The weirdest excuse, according to this survey done by CareerBuilder.com. Number one, the weirdest excuse that an employee actually used to get out of work. Quote, I can't come into work today. My grandmother poisoned me with her ham.
Like,
wow.
What was it? My grandmother poisoned me with her ham?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Boy, man, Nana's up to some serious yeah. crap.
Yeah, Nana's cooking skills have really gone down the tubes. Started out pretty good. Now it's poison.
Yeah. Boy, that escalated very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's pretty funny. Poisoned me with her hand.
Also, I love the phrasing of it. Because first off, it implies that the grandmother intentionally poisoned him with ham. You know, not like, oh, it was an accident or she didn't cook the ham or whatever. My grandmother poisoned me with a ham. That sounds directly intentional.
Poison, yeah.
And number two, it just says with a ham. So, like, it doesn't say, like, was it a sandwich? Was it, like, cooked ham? Did she come in and slap him in the face with a ham?
It was just the entire ham.
Yeah. Billy, you son of a bitch, you're the worst grandson I've ever had. Come back here, I've got a ham for your face.
Hey, you really took it and ran with that, didn't you? It's like a play.
It's like
a radio play.
I can imagine, like,
the story of Billy and his grandmother's ham, brought to you by Richly Pig.
I can just imagine, like, him running around the house and the grandmother's, like, swinging this ham. I'm gonna get you, Billy, you dumb son of a bitch!
What the hell did Billy do?
I don't know, man. You must have done some serious crap to have your grandmother poison you with a ham.
Apparently, and chase you around the house with it, too.
Sure, why not?
Oh, my God.
Because it doesn't say, like, a ham sandwich. It doesn't say,
it
like, a ham dinner.
Ham, yeah.
It's just my grandmother poisoned me with a ham.
With a ham,
with
yeah.
a ham. That's yeah. so, isn't that a weird phrase to use?
Yeah, because he could have said with ham, like a bad slice of ham or a bad ham sandwich, but with a ham.
Yeah,
it's
with
like
a
whole
ham. Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, she's running around the house with this ham. I'm going to get you.
It's just coated, like stereotypical green poison.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Stupid Nana. Poisoning me with ham.
You bitch, why won't you die already? Come back here, I'll make sure you die first.
Nana, eat your own damn ham.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me.
Oh, my God. So, the other thing that's interesting, though, is that you said these were just for one day.
Yeah.
So, we got over the poison really quickly.
Yeah. He's also another fast.
Yeah, he's a fast healer. He took some Advil, too. Yeah. He took some Advil, and his arm repaired, and he's not poisoned anymore.
He's on his way.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Man. That was from last year.
I'm so looking forward to hearing this year's. After reliving this, I had completely forgotten. I remembered the airplane, but I forgot about the mayo and the ham.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, my God. I mean, more than anything, that serves as a perfect example of the weird things we do on this podcast. I said mayo, and we just sort of, like, turned that into its own thing. And then you with the ham, you were creating this whole, like, narrative of, like, the grandmother and the boy and...
It was a radio play.
It was a radio play. We just like went with it. You know, it just took off.
Sure. Looking forward to whenever the 2016 one is released. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be soon.
Hopefully it's soon.
It's right around. It's usually around this time of the year, so it's coming out.
It's basically November. So, yeah. You know.
So, yeah, it will be coming soon. But you know what, Mike? I think I'm going to let you start to rest and rejuvenate on your voice. We need you for the rest of the season.
I know. I got to bounce back, man.
Yeah.
We're coming into the home stretch here of 2016. A lot of great stuff coming up. I want to be fully rested for it.
Yeah. But in the meantime, folks, this is the Chris Spindle Podcast. We got a Halloween treat for you coming up this weekend, so make sure you're subscribed to us on our Facebook page and Twitter pages. Search on Facebook The Crispy Noodle and follow us at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right, and you can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find our video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole bunch more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitchers. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your phone, your computer, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show condensed into a 1 to 2 minute promo that you can easily share with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
That might be the only way you can communicate with anybody is on Twitter.
Yeah, really.
So please send
through text, please.
Yeah, so please send him something.
Yeah.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter. Why not? Shoot us a tweet.
Yeah. Boy, I got to tell you, I love doing this show, but if we go any further, I might have to use one of those excuses.
Yeah, you're going to need
one. My voice is fading.
You're going to need to use
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Life, limb, and lung.
You're a trooper, man.
Ah, I try. I'm taking it like a champ.
Yeah.
Tease, tease.
Taking it like a champ.
Oh, I love that episode.
It was a good one.
Oh, man.
Right. And I also love this episode. I love the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us for this week. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.